بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. من يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: يا أيها الناس قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحون، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله وصدق الرسول ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, my brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us Muslims, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an easy, natural, perfect deen, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a deen that He is happy with, and He has sanctioned and approved of. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us, alhamdulillah, from the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. Respected elders, if we look at the world, then ideologically speaking, there are three major groups. One is kufr, and one is shirk, and one is Islam. As far as the kuffar are concerned, and a kafir, we call in Islam a kafir because he denies the existence of Allah. He rejects the existence of Allah. In the Arabic language, if we look at the dictionary, you will find that we call a farmer. These days the farmer, he says, don't call me farmer, call me agriculturist. Anything respectable. So the farmer in Arabic you call kafir. And the reason why they use this word for him is that he takes the seed and he puts it under the soil. And he is hiding the seed under the soil. And he is depriving the seed at that stage from the sunlight. He is concealing it. He is hiding it. And a kafir, technically speaking now, or jurisprudically speaking, is one who is hiding the fact that Allah is one. Who is denying the sun rays of hidayat of Islam does not reach him. So he is hiding these facts. We call him a kafir. So respected elders, as far as shirk is concerned, remember the mushrikeen of Makkah al-Mukarramah, they believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they associated and ascribed partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Clearly, in numerous places Allah expounds on this and elucidates that these kuffar, these mushriks, should call upon Allah, but they ascribe. We get in the time of when Abraha came to attack the Kaaba, when Abdul Muttalib, after speaking to Abraha, when he came back and he held the knocker of the Kaaba, he made one dua, because he had already told Abraha one statement. Because when Abraha received him and made him sit near him, according to one narration, evacuated even the room away and let Abdul Muttalib sit in his place, then via the translator, when Abraha asked Abdul Muttalib, "What you came for?" So Abdul Muttalib told him, "See, you have stolen my camels. I come for my camels." So Abraha said, "I am really disappointed." Because Abdul Muttalib, he was wajihan. When you saw him, anybody saw him, he was awe-inspired. So he said, "You know, when I saw you, I thought you were an intelligent man. But now I have come here with an army and with elephants to destroy the Kaaba, and you're talking about your camels that are missing." So he tells him that, "I'm the Rabb of the camels. I will care for the camels. The Rabb of the Kaaba, he will look after his house. He will look after his house." So the concept they had that Allah is there, but they associated partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on this topic of shirk, because Tarisa beautifully recited those ayats about Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam and his father and the sun and the moon and the stars. So shirk has got various types. Shirk i'tiqadi, shirk fil amal, shirk in belief, shirk in action. Shirk fi sifatillah, shirk concerning the qualities of Allah. Shirk fi zatillah, shirk concerning the zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shirk fi ibadat, shirk in the ibadat of Allah. Shirk fi amal, shirk in the action. Shirk fi ibadah, shirk in devotion. And shirk fi tasarruf, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed someone else to do his job. Shirk fil ilm, shirk as far as knowledge is concerned. Now I do not want to go and discuss that, all those types of shirk and define them and give you examples, that will take a long time. However, understand that we have got that group also. Externally they may even look like Muslims, but their belief is mushrikana, it is of ascribing partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To give you an example, that in those days, about maybe 15, 18 years ago, our ulama ikram should go to India, Pakistan to study, and they should use one ship called Karanja. Now the Karanja is gone old, and they have anchored it, grounded it. But those days, the ulama, when they're going from here, obviously they are students, so they narrate one story. You see, on the deck, we should notice these turban-clad people with kurtas on. And we greet them, Assalamu alaikum. They don't respond, they don't greet us, nothing. I wonder what's going on, these strange. Then after a while on the ship, because the ship journey is not like a plane journey, you get on and get off. You see, these persons walking around on the deck, they should walk with short pants. So now these young students say, "They're very strange, Molanas, wearing short pants also." After a few days, they see these so-called Molanas lying on the deck, all drunk. "They are very strange, Molanas. First you see them, they drink the short pants, and now they're drunk also. And they don't give our salam in return." After they asked them, that, "Which madrasa are you from? Where are you studying?" They said, "No, we are not even Muslims, but we are Sikhs." "We are Muslims, we are Sikhs. And Sikhs don't smoke, but they drink." Maybe that's why South African government banned smoking and leaving alcohol. To see if there are nothing who is there. The respected elders, externally they look Muslim, but they are mushriks. Now, respected elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us that we are Muslims and we are those believing in Allah's wahdaniyat, unity of Allah, and risalat of the Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But here now we are faced internationally, and now in South Africa also, that every person says that the concept I am presenting of Islam, that's the right concept. And the understanding that I have got of Islam, that is the right concept. And the methodology of my understanding is more superior than yours. And the version of Islam that I have understood, that is the right Islam. So the common man on the street, the layman, he is in confusion. First of all, alhamdulillah, he's blessed with Islam. Now he's standing at crossroads that every other person is saying that the Islam that I am presenting, that's the right Islam. So various factions, and because whether we like it or we do not like it, we are the overflow from India, Pakistan. And the ideology is prevailing there, the winds come here in our country. Respected elders, then we get groups and factions and divisions. Few of them I would mention, I will define them, discuss them, and then for you and I to be rightly guided so that we know in what direction we must stand. First of all, respected elders, a group claimed itself, calling itself Ahl al-Quran. Ahl al-Quran meaning that they said, and they still say, that the Quran is sufficient for us. The Quran is enough. Then, even they started a magazine in Lahore and called it Tulu-e-Islam. Tulu-e-Islam meaning the rise of Islam. Question arises that when did Islam set that you must start one magazine called Rise of Islam? Respected elders, their concept is Quran is sufficient for us. We do not require the Sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We do not require the Hadith of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Questioned why then Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came. Then they unfortunately use derogatory terminology for Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and say, Allah Ta'ala protect us, but for education purpose I have to mention certain things, that they say, oh, he was like a postman, he just brought one letter. Respected elders, this group Ahl al-Quran, and one of the founders was Parvez, unfortunately their wings are coming into South Africa. And they're coming firstly, why and how? By denying the hadith, the sayings of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then the sunnah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And making every person a so-called scholar of Islam. And giving him the opportunity that you can do with Islam what you want to do. Our reply to them is very simple. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to inform us about the Quran. The Quran is the text, and the understanding of the text and the practicality of the text is Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Someone asked Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, describe Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's personality and character. She said, the Quran. Meaning that Islamic personality, Islamic character, Islamic mode of conduct, Islamic law, Islamic way of life, Islamic belief, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam represented and he taught the Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Then we requested and we replied to these people who are utterly stupid that where in the Quran al-Kareem it is stated that we must make two rakats of sunnah before Fajr and two rakat of Fajr Faras. Where in the Quran it is stated that we must make four rakat of Zuhur, four rakat of Asr, three rakat of Maghrib, four rakat of Isha, three rakat of Wajib. Once, unfortunately, I had to come across one of these people in my travels overseas. And he was challenging a debate. And he was saying at one breath that, listen, I am a Muslim. He's saying he's a Muslim. But at the same time, he's saying he's only following Quran. So we took up the offer. We went to him. And In that town we had a small gathering, we invited a few people, and we called the brother to. We made wuzu there, and we made salah. I asked him, see my brother, that we made wuzu, and you did wuzu in front of me in a certain pattern. Where in the Quran it talks about this pattern? And why did you do it three times each? And why did you follow this sequence? I would like to know where in the Quran it is. Then I told him, see, you made salah with us. He said, yeah. I said, you stood first, and then you went in ruku, and then you went in sijda. Where in the Quran it says you must do it, this sequence? After the ruku you stood, after the sijda you sat, where in the Quran it says you must do this? Then he started realizing that no, the Quran has to be understood with the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we asked him that, listen, where in the Quran al-Kareem it is stated the detailed laws of zakat? Where in the Quran al-Kareem it is stated the sequence and the detailed laws of hajj? Go from Makkah to Mina, Mina to Arafat, Arafat to Muzdalifah, Muzdalifah to Mina. Where in the Quran it is stated that you were stoned first shaitan, the big shaitan on the first day, and the next day you stoned the small shaitan, middle shaitan, then the big shaitan? Where in the Quran it is? So that means this sounds very nice. I'm only following Quran. Quran is the divine kitab of Allah. Quran is the final kitab of Allah. Quran is the constitution of life. Quran is sufficient for me. Sounds nice. Respected elders, but technically speaking, the person who denies the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and openly rejects the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not remain in the fold of Islam. So that is now the Ahle Quran. And unfortunately, we should be wary when we hear people criticizing the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because that is how they start off. Oh, it's weak hadith, fabricated hadith, concocted hadith, no in the hadith. What are you talking about, hadith? It was compiled 300 years after Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Possibility and probability of fallacy entering the hadith literature is there. Putting doubt in a person's mind, a simple person's mind. But remember that we are from the Ahle Sunnah wal Jamaat, following the Sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, respected elders, of late we have got, in the era of Queen Victoria, etc., legalized by her, that a group has come up. And this group has now become international in nature. And they are getting strong wings, unfortunately sponsored and money-powered by sources which are trying to destroy Islam. Respected elders, and this group, first, they started in their history, when we look at it, they claim they are Muwahids. They call themselves Tawhidis, firstly. After a little while, when this name did not suit them, then they say, no, we are Muhammadis. And when that word did not suit them, this Muhammadi word, then they began to call themselves and legalize. They said, oh, we are Ahle Hadith. And technically speaking, they are Ghair Mukallid or La Muzaf. They said no, that there is the Quran there is the Hadith there, but the Imams of jurisprudence, the Imams of Fiqh, Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayh, Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Alayh, Imam Malik Rahmatullah Alayh, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal Rahmatullah Alayh, there is no need to follow any one of them. There is no need to adhere to one of them. Yes, there is the Quran and there is the Hadith. Hadith saying of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now they have got divisions. Some of them say no, Quran and only Bukhari. Some of them say no, Quran and only Bukhari and Muslim. Some of them say no, Quran and only the Sahih Sitta, the 6 or 30 page books of Hadith. Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud, Nisa'i, Ibn Majah,
respectful elders, and then some are saying, no, we'll accept the hadith. Quran is any hadith. As for the first group, understand this. Those who say Quran and hadith, only Bukhari. They say, no, you talk to them about anything. They say, no, we only follow Bukhari. Quran and Bukhari. We say here that if you follow Quran and Bukhari alone, then you will not be able to perform on the entire deen of Islam. Say, how? They say, give you Bukhari in his hands. I tell him to show you how to perform one rakat of namaz. How many? Only one rakat of namaz. Tell him, show me from Bukhari and Quran how to perform not two rakats of namaz, only one rakat of salah. Let's see how far he goes. That means his claim is wrong. His proclamation is wrong. He is misled and misleading. But the slogan is so interesting, Quran and Hadith. Then the person who says that no Quran, or Bukhari or Muslim, or even if he says Sayyid Sitta, then we will reply to him and say that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he has told us, to follow who? The answer is Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in numerous ahadith has said that we have to follow his sunnah and the sunnah of the Khulafa'i Rashidin. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith has narrated that the Bani Israel were divided into 72 factions and groups and divisions, and my ummah would be divided into 73, and only one will be the group of salvation. Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, companions of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, ya Rasulullah, which is that group? Obviously, which is that group? So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, statement is absolutely famous, ma'ana alayhi wa sahabi, that which I am upon and that which my sahaba are upon, that the companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected elders, famous hadith, a sahabi kan nuju, that sahabas are like the stars, whomsoever you follow, you will be rightly guided. Famous hadith, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnatul khulafai rashidin al mahdiyin, that hold fast upon my sunnah and upon the sunnah of the khulafai rashidin, that is who? Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman, Ali, for verily they are rightly guided. They are rightly guided. So the stamp of authentication is given none other by Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's saying, follow me. That means, while you're following Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obviously we follow the Quran. So we're following the Quran, we're following the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we're following the sunnah of the Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. That is why, respected elders, without mixing words, let it be clear in our minds that we are not Ahle Hadith, we are Ahle Sunnah wal Jamaat. We are Ahle Sunnah wal Jamaat. We are the people of the Quran, we are the people of the Sunnah. And the Sunnah is the Sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sunnah of the Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. And from there we can substantiate the concept of ijma, which is consensus of opinion amongst the Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala al-majbayin, amongst the tabi'in, the followers of the Sahaba and the tabi'in or the mujtahids, etc. That's a lengthy discussion. That's the third source of argumentation for a Muslim from the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And the fourth source of derivation or source of argumentation or substantiation is qiyas, that is deduction by Shari analogy. To explain that requires some time. But what we must know, that we are those people who follow the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then after that, respected elders, at a last resort, deduction by Shari analogy takes place. Understand here, respected elders, clearly that One is the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one is the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will find in the books of jurisprudence, the books of fiqh, masala and masail. And the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sayings of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find in the books of ahadith. The compilers of the fiqh are mujtahideen, and the compilers of hadith are muhaddith, those scholars of hadith. The compilers of fiqh, the mazhab compilers, are four: Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, Imam Muhammad Idris Shafi rahmatullah alayh, Imam Malik bin Anas rahmatullah alayh, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh. And the compilers of hadith are numerous: Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Imam Abu Dawud, Imam Majah, Imam Tirmidhi, Imam Nasai, Imam Darawi, and various other kitabs we get, Musannif ibn Abdul Razak, and so forth. And remember, here understand one very important point. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala who became Khalif. This is now the door or the era or the time of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'in. Then came Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Then came Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Then came Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Remember, the elderly Sahabas are now becoming less and less in number. And respected elders, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi has got the privilege of seeing the Sahaba. Of seeing who? Sahaba. And Sahaba saw Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi becomes Tabi'i in technical terms. The compilation of jurisprudence, the compilation of laws, rules, regulations, the codification of laws and rules and regulations came before the compilation of hadith. Understand this point very clearly and understand carefully that many are under the impression that the compilation of hadith came before the compilation of fiqh, whereas this is not the case. The compilation of fiqh came before the compilation of hadith. The compilation of the laws and rules and regulation and codification of that came before the compilation of hadith. And the systemization of fiqh came before the systemization of hadith. Meaning that the imams of jurisprudence came before the imams of hadith. Simple word, that Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh came before Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh. In simple terms. But many under the impression, no, the imams of hadith have come before the imams of fiqh. And we are from the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jamaat. The imams of fiqh came closer to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why fiqh developed first. The laws and rules and regulations developed first. People wanted to know how to live. People wanted to know how to behave, how to conduct things. So the laws were developed very quickly. Respect the elders and understand this, because this group which says, no, you do not have to follow any imams and you just have to follow the hadith, we say to them that here is Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in the light of the hadith, that khayra quruni karni summa allazeena yalunahum summa allazeena yalunahum, that best is my time, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and every Friday you hear this hadith in the second khutbah. The best is my time, then the subsequent one, then the subsequent one. Respected elders, so Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is classifying his time and the ones coming after that, the Tabi'in's time, as the best. And here is the fountain of spirituality. Here is the son of spirituality, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we'll have to follow those who are closer to the source. I'm not saying they did not understand the deen. I'm saying they will have to follow those who are nearer the source. Now the people say that you see that if you got the hadith in front, you got the Quran, you can just read the hadith or read the Quran, make our decision. Why must I follow one of the four imams of jurisprudence? Respected elders, now when you ask this person, first of all, that how much Arabic you know? Respected elders, he cannot even read Surah Fatiha properly. But he wants to become a scholar in Islam and deduce laws in Islam. So he's got no contact with the original source of language. Second, he tell you, how many hadiths you know? No, you know, a few hadiths. Yeah, there, a few hadiths. Look at, strangely enough, Imam Bukhari Rahmatullah Ali, according to one narration, he knew 600,000 hadiths. 600,000 hadiths. Of that he chose and he put down into Bukhari and he compiled Bukhari. But notwithstanding that he knew so many hadiths, he still was a mukallid follower in jurisprudence of Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Ali. After knowing so many hadiths, and knowing the hadiths and those who are familiar with the hadith, he knew the matan, the text of the hadith, and the isnad, the sanad of the hadith. He knew the narrative of the hadith, and he knew the verbatim. Like how the Hafiz knows the Quran, he knew the like that. And notwithstanding that, was still saying, I follow Imam Shafi Ramsila. So we asked the simple question, who knows more hadith? You or Imam Bukhari Ramsila? If Imam Bukhari knew so many hadiths and still become Shafi, what do you know, few hadiths, and you want to do your own deduction in life? In fact, let me make one statement here. Most scholars and compilers of hadith are Shafi ul Maslak, are following the Shafi Maslak. Most of the Sayyaf Sitta, in fact, all of the Sayyaf Sitta, the six authentic books, are Shafi ul Maslak. Now they felt, Imam Muslim Rahmatullah Alayh, Imam Majah Rahmatullah Alayh, Abu Dawud Rahmatullah Alayh, these great scholars who knew hundreds of hadiths, they felt the need that they must follow an Imam, and today one person writes three articles, reads four books, and thinks he's a scholar of Islam. How this is working, Allah Ta'ala does that, respected elders. But what is the catchphrase? The Quran is where the hadith is there. Why must I not do my own deduction? Now, respected elders, we ask you a few more things before I terminate. That if your dear and beloved one, and dear and cherished one, is sick, then you take the person to the doctor, and you take one doctor, and take another doctor, third doctor, and fourth doctor. And these four doctors, they tell you, you see, this is wrong, and this is the medication. Each one says something else is wrong, and each one gives another medicine. So what do you do there, respect to the elders? Man has got certain possibilities there. One is that he says, that listen, I take one medication, one doctor, one medication. And that's the most logical thing to do. The other one is that, no, what I will do, that morning time, because the doctor says they must take medication every 6 hours, so in 24 hours, there is 4 hours, or 4-6 hours at least, then first doctor's medicine I'll take first time, second dose, next doctor's medicine, third dose, next doctor's medicine, fourth dose, next doctor's. By the time the 24 hours is gone, that patient is gone. But you won't do that, respected elder. Why you won't do that? Because you love the patient. You love the patient, you say, no, listen, that intelligence is saying, rationality is demanding, logic is saying that one doctor, let's use one doctor. And then see what happens. We are saying the same thing, respected elders from the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaah, that you follow one imam, and you stick to that one imam, and that is the road for salvation, and this is the road for success. Another example I give you, that it's half an hour, I know, but now you see my brain is open. That we've got a mountain, and we have to go to the peak of the mountain. So we have to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is batlu, purpose in life. And to get there are four roads. So one person says, that listen, I want to get there. There are four roads leading to this peak. So what I will do, I'll take this one road, I'll get onto this road, and I'll get there. That is a logical thing to do. That is a reasonable thing to do. And one person says, no, what I'll do, I'll crisscross. I'll go a little bit on this road, then I'll go to that road. After a little while, I come back this road. Then after a little while, I take the other road. How long will it take him to get there, respect to the Lord? And in the process, he'll die. And this fellow who has decided in his mind that I'm taking this one road and I'm going to get on top there, he'll go slowly, but inshallah, he'll get there. Similarly, yeah, we have got four mazhabs. And four mazhabs which are codified, which are systemized, which are prevalent, which are existing in the world. A Muslim from the Ahle Sunnah wal Jamaat, he takes one of these roads, and he proceeds on this road, he will get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected elders, so what we have done so far, that we have explained a little bit about kufr, about shirk, and Islam, and everybody wants to feel that I am on the right pattern of Islam. There is one more division I can go into, that is the innovators, those who innovate in deed, how to recognize them, what is the definition of that, that will take some time. But remember, the safe course is, we are from the Ahle Sunnah wal Jamaat. Just as shirk is the antithesis of Tawheed, meaning that it is diametrically opposite to Tawheed, that innovation, bid'ah, is diametrically opposite and diagonally opposite, and it is the antithesis of Sunnah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the Sunnah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is so easy that we just have to find out from the ulama, is this the Sunnah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? You will do it, you will get rewarded, you will get the pleasure of Allah. And when a Muslim, he acts upon the Quran, he acts upon the Sunnah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he is guided by the laws of jurisprudence as expounded by the imams of jurisprudence, Allah Ta'ala will give him salvation. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
JazakAllah Mufidat for those beautiful words of advice. We'll go now to question and answer. If anybody got any questions to pose, please, you may go ahead. Anybody got any questions, with me. Question is, what about the Salafi Salihin?
Salafi. In certain parts of the world, these, as I told you, progressively how they have went, they call themselves Tawhidis, Muwahids, then Muhammadis, then Ahle Hadith, now Ghair Muqallid. And in certain parts of the world, they are calling themselves these Ghair Muqallid Salafis. So they are calling themselves Salafis, people who say that we must not adhere to any one imam. Professor, 88.86 kilometers. Think 89. That was really easy.
Any other questions, brothers? Speak louder.
Say it in the Kitab of the Market, the compile that we've got a few out also. It's called Learn a Hadith a Day, and like the way one is study a Hadith a week, one is called what you call a Hadith a Day. Now, these hadiths will have references. These hadiths will have references. And the hadith is that, as rightly said by Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Kaka Sahib, it is bayan, he stressed one point that 2/3 of Quran Kareem have got to do with Imaniyat. Of the 6,666 ayats, 500 have got to do with the injunctions, commandments, laws, orders. So in the hadith literature also, that we should find that is this hadith pertaining to a law or an injunction, or it is pertaining to nasihat, advice. So when those hadiths are pertaining to advice and nasihat, then alhamdulillah, we should take those. But those hadiths that have got to do with belief or got to do with any law or injunction, if it is not self-explanatory, then you require an alim to explain it. Give you an example. Sayyidina Mullah is a bit edgy, he's worried about you always. That Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, La salata illa fil masjid. There is no salat except in the masjid. So these people who say, no, we must just follow Quran and hadith, because of this hadith, they tell him, explain this hadith to us. And you must ask him that your wife, where she performed salat. You know, she made a talk. Is this hadith? That there is no salat except in the masjid? Then 9 out of 10 times these people, unfortunately, who say Quran and hadith and classify themselves as al hadith, they are those who tell people who are making salat, your salat is not valid. That's another discussion. So you ask where you made your fajr salat. 9 out of 10 times, it's like the person who rose the rise of Islam, and when the sun was rising, he was sleeping. So same condition here. That sleeping, there is no idea at all. But this hadith is saying that there is no salat except in the masjid. What are you going to do with it? So what do you say about it? So I say nothing about it. Because I have acknowledged one fact that I have not understood the deen, but Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, they have understood the deen. And they have brought this deen for us, simplified it, we understand. Remember, they are not the formulators of the deen. This is another deception today. They are not the formulators of the deen. They are the explainers of the deen. So what they have done with this hadith, there is no salat except in the masjid, he has put something in brackets for us. There is no perfectly rewarding salat except in the masjid. So one is validity of the salat, and one is the reward of the salat. So there is perfectly a rewarding salat in the masjid. But the validity of the salat can be done anyway. Now we have understood that. Anything else? We make a request that you come to Baital tomorrow night. It's not very far away from here.
65 kilos.
You are even Musafir. So, alhamdulillah, you come away. And because Maulana was stressing about Darul Deoband so much, maybe tomorrow, if they allow me to speak, I will talk on Maulana Qasim Nanwati Rahmatullah Alayh and how clever he was and how they have understood him. So maybe I'll talk about that, and I assure you, if I have to talk on that, I will talk on that stuff. You will really understand some aspects of these which you have not understood before from that life, and then you will understand their mental capacity and ability.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of you for your sacrifice, for the warm welcome you have accorded us from the hadith. Adam Allahu alaykum al-ni'mah. May Allah's ni'mah prevail upon you. Akala ta'amukum al-abrar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it that pious people eat at your homes, so that your children can always be in the company of pious people. Wa salatu alaykum malaika. May the angels send peace and salutations upon you. Wa salatu alaykum al-sayamun. May the fasting people break their fast at your home so that you can get the thawab of the entire roza. Allahumma atim man asamana wa atim man saqana. Oh Allah, feed those who fed us. Oh Allah, give them to drink who gave us to drink. Allahumma barik lahum fima razaqtahum. Oh Allah, grant them barakah in their rizq. Waqfir lahum, forgive them. Warhamhum, have mercy upon them. And once again, jazakallah, ahsanul jaza. And lastly, I'm going to request Maulana Yusuf Wadi to make dua for us. He is also part of our delegation, and alhamdulillah, he's made a lot of effort calling the people, organizing the program, confirming all the dates. He just got back from England about 3 weeks ago. So, notwithstanding that, he's involved in the Talimi department, that is drawing up the syllabus and reviewing the syllabus, etc. Alhamdulillah, Allah is doing great work. We request Maulana Yusuf Wadi, inshallah, to make dua, inshallah.
تبارك اسم الله تعالى في السفر والعبور يا أرحم الراحمين فلما سمع وإذن بحلنا وبرحمنا لنسونا من المستاثرين ربنا اغفر لنا وتجعلنا منكم في التواب الرحيم رب اغفر وارحمنا أنت خير الراحمين رب اغفر وارحمنا وتجاوز عنا تعبنا إنك أنت العفو الأكرم اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشايخنا ولمن حق علينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات والذين سبقونا بالإيمان اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأعمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية في الدنيا والآخرة اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت اللهم توفنا مسلمين والحقنا بالصالحين اللهم توفنا مسلمين والحقنا بالصالحين اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واجعلنا منهم اللهم إنا نسألك في نهورهم ونعوذ بك من شرورهم اللهم عليك بأعدائنا وأعداء الإسلام اللهم أهلكهم كما أهلكت عاد وثمود ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما سبحان ربنا رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام عليكم.
جزاك الله خيرا.